welcome everybody to another edition of the internationally syndicated Last Christian Radio Show. My name is J.D. Williams here in Texas. That's Mr. David Paxton there on your left, all the way from New York City. Mm-hmm. And David, we got a fun show today. We spent a little time before we got started this morning, and we were doing a lot of laughing. I'll just put it to you like that.
Yeah, it was good. I like my favorite one was the Babylon Bee when they came out and they got Trump is escorting Zelensky out, and there's a sign next to him that says, "You must be this tall to receive foreign aid."
Yeah. Come back when you grow up or something like that. Yeah, that was good. Yeah.
Maybe try again next year when you grow.
All right. Well, we do have a lot to cover today, and it is going to be a good show. And we're going to answer that question for you. Ukraine, is it in Bible prophecy? And I'm gonna kind of answer it and kind of not right now by saying yes and no. And so anyway, we'll get there. David, you want to go ahead and pray us into the show, and then we'll tell everybody what we are going to cover today.
Let's do it. Mm-hmm. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, and we thank you for the opportunity to bring your word, because we know all this stuff is temporary. This is day-to-day news and all this stuff that we have, but we look for the parts that point to your return. So that's what we're excited about, because that's going to be the eternal day, and then all this news will be behind us. So we ask, Father, that the words will go forth, and that you could lead people to your throne, and that we would understand the times, just like your word asks us to do. So we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I couldn't agree with you more on that. I mean, we're getting there. We've spent the last couple of shows that we've done a lot on Bible prophecy, reading a lot of scripture. And if you guys haven't paid attention to that or missed it, please go to lastchristian.net, and there's a link there to all of our shows. And you'll be able to look at those. And I think a lot of them are very, very important teachings. David gave mm-hmm. a great one this past midweek show that I would highly recommend that you guys watch, mainly because it's part one of, I don't know how many, two or three anyway.
Yeah, so, the giants are big.
Yeah.
Like so, more ways than one.
Yeah. So if you don't believe that there were giants on the earth or whatever that, you know, you might want to tune into that, because you'll find it very, very enlightening. Okay, what we're going to do here is I'm going to show you real quick what we hope to cover today. And I don't know that we'll get to all this, but first of all, we will do the week in review. And then we're going to talk about the U.S. and the Ukraine. And for anybody that wasn't under a rock yesterday, you understand what the situation was there between Zelensky and President Trump. I'm also going to show you a map of Christian persecution and tell you a little bit about the countries and the people that are involved mostly in that. And you know, there's Christian persecution in every country, but this one is going to, I think you'll find it enlightening. And then if we have time, we'll talk about the fall of Joy Reid and DEI. And I think that you guys will enjoy that as well. Okay, let's look mm-hmm. at, first of all, the week in review here. This week has seen significant developments across the globe, particularly involving the United States, Europe, Israel, Hezbollah, Gaza, Russia, China, and the Ukraine. We've got Middle East tensions, of course. Israel and Gaza, Switzerland is set to host a conference on the occupied Palestinian territories on March 7th, aiming to address ongoing conflicts and humanitarian issues in the region. And David, here we go again with these peace talks that are taking place in other countries that don't involve Israel. Yeah. I don't know how that works.
Yeah, but, they got nothing to do with it. Yeah. It's like, who goes to Switzerland to discuss Gaza?
Right. Like, come on. And then, you know,
what are you selling books? What are you doing?
Right. Right. Well, I guess they're going to go skiing on the Alps. Hezbollah's position here is while there have been no major escalations reported, that Hezbollah continues to maintain a strong presence in Lebanon, closely monitoring developments between Israel and the Palestinian territories. Do you want to go into that one a little bit, David? Hezbollah, they seem to be trying to get themselves back together again. And I know that I know Hamas is preparing for an Israeli invasion, but they're expecting the same kind they got before, and instead it's going to be full scale, mm-hmm. from what I understand. You want to go ahead and...
Yeah, well, now they got... Now they have our agreement and support. They can do what they want, and we gave them the weapons they actually bought. Mm-hmm. All right, so now they can go in and do the correct thing, which is stop these evil terrorists from attacking their country continually. Everyone wants to blame Israel for all this stuff, but all they're doing is protecting themselves. They didn't instigate any of it,
right?
You know, and so it's just. It's actually just pretty funny, and you got to shake your head and say, you know, what are we watching, a Monty Python skit? You know?
Right.
You know, the Black Knight, right? And he's got his arms and his legs cut off, and he's still trying to fight. This is Hezbollah, you know? They're going, I'll bite your kneecap.
Yeah, right.
Okay, good for you. And then he just walks away and says, come back here. I told you you were a coward.
Well, you know, President Trump is really pushing Israel. You know, he said, you know, it's up to Israel, but they got to do something. And the first phase of the ceasefire was scheduled to end today. I have not received confirmation as of the time of this taping as to whether or not it has been extended or if it is over. But if it is over, I do have consistent reporting saying that within 2 to 3 weeks, Israel will go back into Gaza, but mm-hmm. they will go in full force and they will completely annihilate Hamas, clean Hamas completely out, basically razz the Gaza Strip, and then allow Israeli settlements inside of Gaza. That, again, I'm getting that from multiple very credible sources. So do you have a comment on that one, David?
100%. I mean, you can't sling a dead cat without hitting some news report about the Bibas, you mm-hmm. know, the mother and the two babies.
Exactly.
That mm-hmm. were brutally murdered and then sent back in a box, and they completely disrespected them and the bodies and everything. Mm-hmm. And that kind of brought Israel all back together and to see what Hamas is really about, because some of them were still like, you know, libtards here. Here's the gay people with crazy colored hair saying, mm-hmm. we support Palestine, mm-hmm. and they'd kill you in a heartbeat. You're retarded. Don't do that. Mm-hmm. But so now that it kind of unified and solidified Israel's resolve as a nation to go and do what they have to do so this does not happen again. And, you know, I agree with them. You know, you have cancer, you got to kill it.
Yeah, got to do what you got to do. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, moving on here, Russia and Ukraine conflict. Their military engagements. Ukraine has launched one of its largest drone attacks into Russian territory this week, signaling a significant escalation in the ongoing conflict. And what was left out of that report is that Russia did the same thing toward the Ukraine. But anyway, we'll be talking about more about Ukraine here in a little bit. Mm-hmm. International relations. Hungary has signed new energy deals with Russia, highlighting differing approaches within Europe regarding relations with Moscow amidst the war there in the Ukraine. And then China's global influence. We got diplomatic moves there that China continues to strengthen its global influence, engaging in various diplomatic initiatives across Asia and Africa. Specific details from this week are limited, but China's strategic partnerships and economic investments remain a focal point in international relations. Do you have any comment on that one, David? I mean, China is definitely a foe to worry about.
Yeah, there are those in prophecy teaching that are convinced that China is the great red dragon, because that's their symbol, is a big red dragon. Mm-hmm. And Bible prophecy is esoteric in that way, where it's a real thing, but it also represents real things that are going on in many different realms. Mm-hmm. And one of them will be, it might be a real big red dragon, but it also represents this nation. But anyway, China, they're just, they think like they're the only race. They literally do. They think they're the only race that should be on
that
the planet.
Matters. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that everyone else should be a slave.
You know,
to them.
That reminds me of Nazi Germany. I mean, yeah. Just right off the top of my head there, because, you know, Hitler referred to them as the superior race, or what was it?
The Aryan superior race.
Yeah, they yeah, were but, supposed
and he
to
wasn't
be,
one. He was just a Jew himself.
Yeah. All right, now I want you guys to pay attention to this one, because I don't know if you know this guy. If you don't, you might want to tune in and listen to him sometime. It's Pastor Greg Lowry. And David, I don't even know what you think of the man, but anyway, I'll read this. And then
Lowry? Greg Lowry. Yeah. Well, he's had some issues along the way. I think he lost his son, which was sad.
Yeah. Anyway, he said that...
I remember him from 40 years ago.
Some interpretations of biblical prophecy suggest that current events align with predictions in the book of Ezekiel, particularly chapters 38 and 39, which describe a coalition of nations, including a leader from the far north, which some interpreted as Russia, aligning against Israel. The growing alliances between Russia, Iran, and other Middle Eastern nations are viewed by some as a potential fulfillment of these prophecies. It's important to approach such interpretations with caution, as they're based on theological perspectives and are not universally accepted. Current geopolitical events are complex and influenced by a multitude of factors beyond prophetic text. He goes on here to say in a YouTube video, and this is where, you know, you guys might want to go to YouTube, even though we don't use them anymore because they're socialist and they're communist and they're full of censorship and we booted them. But anyway, he has a video over there that says, are Russia and Ukraine in the Bible, in Bible prophecy? And you might want to take a look at that. He addresses this question about the potential connection between current events in Ukraine and biblical prophecy. He emphasizes that while the Bible doesn't specifically mention Russia or Ukraine, I disagree with him there, certain passages, particularly in Ezekiel 38 and 39, refer to a nation from the far north allying against Israel, which some interpret as Russia. He, again, advises caution there about the geopolitical outcomes. So, I don't know, David, I know I disagree with him on some of this stuff, but what do you think about it?
Well, he's always been more of, like when he first started, he was all about talking to young adults, you know, and then he got into all this stuff. But he's as much as he loves the Lord, he's very weak on things, okay, and he's weak on a lot of things, one of them being prophecy. So he's always done it. Oh no, this isn't it. He's like the scoffers. It says, oh, scoff, and then they'll say, where is the promise of his coming? Now, granted, for the last 45 years we've been saying, hey, first, you know, think of, well, it must be 1993. Well, no, it actually started in May 14th 1940 1988, because that was the 40 years there. You know, and then you had Harold Camping going around saying, oh, that's the last day you can be saved because it's 40 years as a generation. And so it was May 14th, 1948. So 1988, that's the last day. I even had a friend from college come over my house, him and his wife. They dressed up like Mormons. Oh, it's very important that you believe that this is the last day you could be saved. Listen, if it is, it is. But that's not what the Bible says. It doesn't say one generation is exactly 40 years to the day.
Right.
And they were so concerned about me. So it started there, and I was like, so you see all the nonsense that comes out where people say, oh, this is it. And I've been hearing, you know, next week is the rapture for the same amount of time.
Right.
All right. Mm-hmm. Including now. Now it's, hey, 2025 is the rapture. Mm-hmm. Maybe, but since you said that now I know that it isn't.
At least a day and hour,
right? At least a day and the hour. Oh man, did you have to go and say that? However, you can't go on the flip side of that either, and that's where Greg Laurie is. He's on the flip side. He's very weak on all this stuff. Oh no, don't believe it. No, it's there, and God said you need to discern the times.
Amen.
So it's not. It's not looking at it and say, hey, this is it over here. Mm-hmm. Our job is to look at it and consider, okay, how does this fit in? What are the ramifications of this?
Yeah.
Does this have anything to do with prophecy? Because remember, our job is to keep on looking up until he returns. Well, does this have anything to do with it? Not to prognosticate. That's one of my you know, catchphrase is, I mean, prophecy is not prognostication.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Exactly.
We'll know the minute after it happens, but to dismiss it out of hand, that's, you're going way off the deep end on the other side.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you can't really dismiss it out of hand, but we can't say that, you know, this is definitively this and this and this. I mean, there are certain things. When we see the temple being built, okay, there it is, you know. Mm-hmm. We'll know. But yeah, he's just weak, and so he's trying to dismiss it. I don't know.
Yeah,
he was out of the picture for a while. I don't know why he's back. But
anyway. Well, I see him on TV a lot. I don't know if you do, but you know, he has a little 1 minute commercials or something like that, and you know, and God uses people, whether they're true believers or not, he still uses them. And so I'm sure that some people have come to Christ through him, and congratulations for that. But you're right, you know, he didn't go in depth. You know, it's just basically, you know, okay, well, just say this prayer real quick, you know, I accept Jesus Christ, and that's it, you know, without really explaining what all is really necessary.
And it's weak.
Yeah.
And that's a problem, because now here you are, but then the weak people are going to follow you, and they're going to be, oh, okay, well, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and there's not going to be an urgency. There's not going to be this sense of, hey, Jesus can come any minute.
Right.
When, well, in fact, that is the case.
Yeah, I do want to mention, because you kind of touched on it, about the Jewish nation there, and my understanding is this is a very cold season in Israel right now. There's a lot of snow. Mm-hmm. They've had really heavy snow, but they have had more Jewish visitors to the Temple Mount in this month than they have over the past, and I believe, if I remember the article correctly, 2,900 years. And what they're saying is that they are anticipating the building of the third temple and the return of their or the presence of their Messiah, seeing as how they don't think one's come yet. So to me, this all falls perfectly in line with the end times that Jesus spoke of. David, what do you think?
Yeah, exactly. Well, he said there'd be like birth pains, you know, and anytime the woman's pregnant, you get a little kick. Oh, was that it? You know, you're looking around. Oh, I got gas from that pepperoni pizza. Oh, wait, you're going to have the baby. Everything is there. And that's where you want to be. You want to be expecting that baby. And I'd rather err on the side of caution and say, okay, we ready? You ready to go? Oh, right. It's just gas. Okay. As opposed to forget about it. So what? You had a contraction. Who cares?
Yeah.
You know, and then you got a problem if it is the real thing.
Yeah.
So I'd rather err on the side of caution there. But I don't know why. Why he would even be weak and then be on TV? I guess because people like the tickling ears.
That's it exactly. You know, the tickle your ears. Sermons that I know I'm going to get a lot of flack for this one, but I'd say 90% of the churches are teaching that tickle your ears.
Oh, 100%. Kind of. Yeah, just say something nice so they come back and give their tithes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, tell a nice story. Oh, yeah. I remember the day when I was a kid. Who cares?
Mm-hmm.
Give me
mm-hmm.
some of the work.
Yeah.
You want to mess people up, try this one on. The temple wall that they have there, or what do they call it?
The Wailing Wall.
The Wailing Wall, that's right. The Wailing Wall, that wasn't part of the original temple.
Amen. Yeah. It was part of the Roman garrison.
Yeah, it was most likely the garrison housing. Because it's not in the right spot.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus clearly said, not one stone will be left upon another.
Amen. Amen.
Well, you have stones there that are left one upon another. So
that ain't
it's
it.
A, Jesus lied, or B, that's not the wall. So I'm going to go with B, because Jesus doesn't lie.
Correct.
So, but that, you know, it shows their zeal. And I think there's a reason that it couldn't, not that the reason it couldn't be the temple, but the reason he has it there and they think it's a temple is because he doesn't want them to desecrate the real site, you know, because that's a very holy site, the original Temple Mount.
Yeah.
And he kept it hidden and protected for a reason, because in Revelation he says, oh, yeah, that's the court of the Gentiles. Just don't measure that one. Mm-hmm. And that's what he's talking about. All this stuff that they got now, that's literally the court of the Gentiles.
That's a really good point, you know, that you were making there. You know, really, really good. I had never really thought about the protection part before. And that's a good point. Really good, yeah.
Because you don't want to ask me what that means when they're doing this all the time.
Okay? I don't, or I do?
You do not.
Okay.
Because that has overtones that are not family friendly, if you can get my drift.
All right, well, we'll stay away from that.
And that's what they believe, that they are in love with this thing that they're doing. Mm-hmm. And it's actually extremely pagan and bad.
Okay. Well, maybe
we'll again, they're apostates, so we pray for this.
I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll do a special on that, and we'll run it only on the site. That's what we'll do. So y'all go to lastchristian.net and stay up there, because we put specials up there every now and then, and that are only available to site visitors. Okay, I want to... get into, I don't know if we'll even have enough time to finish this one or not, phase two here, but early in the week, Russia told the Ukraine that they would not allow the return of any Ukrainian land in any peace deal. And so, I mean, now that was early in the week. And so after that, President Trump had this to say.
The other question I ask is about the land. Will you get your land back? Well, they've fought long and hard on the land, and you and I will be discussing that. And we're going to certainly try and get as much as we can back. But on the NATO, it's just not, that's not going to happen. Yeah, please.
Okay. On the NATO, it's just not going to happen. And he didn't sound like he was going to be pushing Russia too much about the land that they've got. And I'm sure that there's some reasons there that we don't even know about, but what do you think, David?
Well, he knows Putin, and he knows if the guy says something, that's what he's going to do, unlike Zelensky. So he's like he said, I'm not on either side. I'm not on anyone's side. What I want to do is stop all this killing, okay, because there's innocent men and women on both sides that are getting killed. And he says, listen, it's not about the land. It's not about this. It's not about whose side am I on. It's about let's stop killing everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what it was. And everyone's complaining, oh, he yelled at them, and they're, you know, the diplomatic stuff and all this. You know what? If he's going to be a bully, but it stops the war, okay.
Mm-hmm. Well,
fine.
Okay, the reporting that came out was that the Ukraine had agreed to the terms. And the terms are really simple, okay? And that is, we're going to sign this minerals deal. And when we sign this minerals deal, that means we're going to have Americans there in the Ukraine. And so that's going to, you know, Russia's not going to be too keen on hitting places that U.S. citizens are involved in. But but that's phase one. Then phase two is a ceasefire. Okay, we're going to stop the bullets from flying one way or the other. And then phase three would be the actual peace deal. And, of course, Zelensky wants to put it all together right now. But he finally supposedly backed down, and he was going to go along with the deal. And then he gets to the White House yesterday, and he wants to change it all up. And that didn't fly well. So let's look at this one. Real quick, David, I don't know if we'll have time to get to all this or not, but this week a significant and contentious meeting took place at the White House between Trump and Zelensky, which has drawn considerable attention from Christian conservative circles. And I wanted to put this in terms of Christians as much as I could. This was yesterday when Trump and J.D. Vance met with Zelensky in what was intended to be a discussion on minerals deal and then peace negotiations concerning the ongoing conflict between Ukraine and Russia. However, the meeting escalated into a heated confrontation, President Trump accusing Zelensky of being disrespectful and not genuinely seeking peace, leading to an abrupt end of the talks and the cancellation of the planned press conference. So I don't have time to get into more of the slides on that with only 3 minutes to go here in the first half. We'll pick it up again in the second. But, David, what's your initial thoughts on how that unfolded yesterday?
Well, there's there are those that think that Vance and even Rubio got a little high school bullyish. But then you have to understand the reason why. And, you know, in the midst of all that, yeah, Zelensky agreed to something. Hey, we're getting, mm-hmm. what was it, 50% of the mineral rights.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to have this. And you know, you owe us that money, so we're not going to do that. And and just a lot of this stuff. And then he comes and he doesn't even wear a suit. The
right.
freaking White House, for crying out loud. You know?
Right.
But, you know? And so he's completely disrespectful. He thinks mm-hmm. he's dealing with Biden again.
Right.
You know, where he's going to go and put his feet up on the table. And mm-hmm. it just wasn't the case. So he was disrespectful. And even though it seemed kind of calm, he's like, oh, no, we're going to come here. And then he says stuff like, oh, rumor has it you gave us some money and stuff. I said, whoa, time out. What do you mean rumor has it? So it kept tweaking them. And then, you know, and out came the Marine, basically. Okay, we're going to fight now. And that's what happened. So everyone's yelling at the guy who got upset instead of the little clown who caused the problem. And so he's there thinking he's going to go in and change all the deals. And his MO was basically, oh, you need to be on my side and you and I are going to go fight Putin.
Yeah.
And he kept telling him, no, that's not what we're doing. I'm not on anybody's side. I'm here to make a negotiation, to broker a deal, because you have brave men and women going to war over there, and I want to stop them from being killed.
Right.
He says, don't you get that? Mm-hmm. And he kept telling him, don't you get that? And then Zelensky kept pushing, oh, no, you're gonna send troops over, and that's going to help us. Like, no. And you have to come on my side. He's like, not going to do it. Can you imagine? Hey, let me put down Putin and then call him up. Hey, you ready to make a deal? He even said that.
He's like, yeah, he did. Yeah.
So it's just nonsense. And that's why they threw him out. And you know, they were justified in getting mad. Maybe they could have handled it better, but I might not have handled it so well myself. Mm. I might have hit the guy on national TV. But anyway,
well, you know,
take us out of here.
As I was watching it yesterday, and I've never seen anything like it before in my life. And anyway, we'll get into that in the second half of the show. Still got a long way to go, and we're still going to answer the question, Ukraine and Bible prophecy. Be back right after this break.
Are you weighed down by life's issues and challenges? Do you need rest from the day-to-day grind? Then the Word of God broadcast is your listening station. The Word of God broadcast is a Christ-centered ministry, sharing God's marvelous Word. Here you will find you rest from the things of the world. Join us each Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern or 6 p.m. Central Time on Revelation Radio Broadcast. The Word of God broadcast plants the seeds, and the Holy Spirit adds the essential nutrients to ensure every soul's growth for the harvest of Jesus' soon return. If you want to learn more about God's Word, eternal life, and His Son, Jesus Christ, join us each Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern or 6 p.m. Central Time on KRRB Revelation Radio.
Ready to start your day on a new level? Meet Everyday Dose, the coffee alternative that's more than just a caffeine fix. Check out more and grab your first dose at everydaydose.com/hiddenday. Why it's different. Everyday Dose combines premium coffee with brain-boosting ingredients like mushrooms and collagen, giving you focus, energy, and mental clarity without the jitters or crashes. It's the clean energy your body craves. Check out these benefits you'll love. Say goodbye to coffee crashes. Boost your mental clarity and focus. Support your immune system and overall wellness. Feel energized naturally without the anxiety or jitters. Perfect for busy professionals, health enthusiasts, or anyone ready to upgrade their daily routine. Again, that's everydaydose.com/hiddenday.
KRRB Grand Saline, Canton, Mineola, Texas.
Are you ready to deepen your walk with Jesus? Join Norman Smith on Run with Horses, the weekly radio show dedicated to helping you follow Jesus well. In Jeremiah 12:5, God challenges us to pick up the pace and prepare to run with horses. Jesus calls us to take up our cross and follow him. The journey is tough, but always worth it. Tune in every Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Central on revelationradio.net for an all-new edition of Run with Horses. Explore topics like biblical discipleship, healthy marriage, and building a godly family. Don't miss Run with Horses every Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Central, right here on KRRB, revelationradio.net. For more information or to listen to past broadcasts, be sure to visit runwithhorses.net.
And welcome back, everybody, to the second half of Last Christian. Again, my name is J.D. Williams here in Texas. It's Mr. David Paxton there in New York. David, we were just beginning our discussion on what I call the disastrous meeting yesterday in the White House. So I'm going to put this one up here real quick. Again, from a Christian conservative standpoint, several key issues emerged from this incident. Number one, religious freedom concerns. There have been ongoing debates about religious liberties in the Ukraine, particularly regarding the Ukrainian government's actions against the Ukrainian Orthodox Church, the UOC, due to its alleged ties to Russia. Some Christian conservatives view these actions as oppressive towards certain Christian denominations, raising concerns about the state of religious freedom under President Zelensky's administration. I'm going to stop it there and see whether or not, David, you are aware of any of that. I have heard some stuff, but I don't really have any facts on it. What do you know?
No, I really haven't heard too much. And other than, you know, I do have a friend that does computer programming and stuff, and he's actually in the Ukraine because they're really good at that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I haven't spoken to him in a little bit, but they were like, yeah, I mean, life in general is still good there. It's just some of the war sections over there. So in general, they're actually just living their lives. So a lot of this is show, is what he was saying. But that was in the beginning. It's probably getting worse by now. Yeah. But then, you know, he's not exactly like us. He's kind of more of the Greg Laurie type of a Christian.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. So, yeah, I really couldn't get a good read on that. Okay. But I mean, it stands to reason, because, you know, they were all buddies with all the Democrats over here who are all the same way. Yeah. Oh, you're a Christian, you must be wrong. Out of the gate, it's just evil, it's the devil, and yeah, all of it is the same. So I really don't have much to say other than I probably makes sense to me.
Yeah. Well, I just know I view Zelensky in a way of most of them, including Putin, by the way, who mention the Bible a lot, but act about as far away from the Bible as you can get. In other words, you use the Bible when it's convenient. Use scripture. You go in and you know, cherry pick different scripture to fit your agenda. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how I view that situation there. Okay. Let's see. I'm going to put it back up here again because it's got a second part to it, which is the moral imperative for peace. Vice President J.D. Vance, aligning with Catholic teachings on peace, has defended the administration's firm stance, suggesting that President Trump's approach reflects a commitment to achieving a peaceful resolution to the conflict, which is a priority for many Christian conservatives and even everybody, really, if you think about it. Also, there's leadership and integrity here. The confrontation has led to figures like Senator Lindsey Graham to question President Zelensky's leadership and suggest the possibility of his replacement. This perspective emphasizes the need for leaders who uphold integrity and can effectively navigate complex geopolitical landscapes, aligning with Christian conservative values of strong and principled leadership. And again, I'm going to stop it there because I know, David, that you were talking to me before the show about some activity there in the Ukraine in regard to his leadership.
Yeah, so Dubinsky. Remember Dubinsky?
I don't, but
me neither.
I'm going to find out, trust me. But
apparently, Dubinsky is the MP, I guess the member of parliament or something.
Yeah, something
anyway,
like that.
Anyway, the short story is this. Ukraine's own government is now, you know, forming the articles for impeachment of Zelensky because they basically just embarrassed the entire country there. Mm-hmm. So now his own people are doing it. And then, and then Europe says, oh, we stand behind him. Yeah, no surprise there. Listen, you're not allowed in NATO, but, we'll stand behind you. Yeah. Well, then Europe, you send your troops, Europe.
Right.
You go ahead. You send your troops and your money. Because, mm-hmm. even Zelensky himself said that he didn't get half of the money that they said they sent. Yeah. So we all know where that's going.
Mm-hmm.
It's all being laundered over there. But yeah, to show up, can you imagine if any leader of our country shows up to a place like that and then he's not even wearing a suit,
mm-hmm.
And then he starts arguing with them.
Mm-hmm.
On national TV. It's a humiliation. It's like, who is this little boy?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they're tired of him as well. And who knows? Maybe if they impeach him and get a new person in there, the war will stop immediately.
Right. Yeah. I tend to agree with you on that because Zelensky, he's a terrible negotiator. It's just absolutely terrible. When the meeting started yesterday, and people, if you didn't see it from the beginning, then you've never seen this part. But President Trump actually was commending him, for the way that he's conducted the war, how he has tried to, that his people are fighting as hard as they can, and he's glad to see Zelensky coming around to negotiating. And then Zelensky made some kind of comment about how bad Russia was, and it's just a terrible situation. Now they pick it up with, you have a tremendous hatred for Russia. That's the first thing that you see in any of the videos that's been released. But you didn't see all the stuff before where he was praising him and trying to make him feel comfortable and all that. I will say this, though, and I told you this again before the show started, that when Zelensky showed up at the White House and he stepped out of that vehicle in that polo shirt and, baggy mm-hmm. pants and all that, President Trump looked at him and said, oh, well, you dressed nice today. That was the very first indication that things were going to go south. I think you mentioned that, right?
Yeah, complete disrespect for mm-hmm. the office of the White House. Now, not even who you're talking with. It's just it's the office. You just mm-hmm. if you're going there, you dress in a suit. It's a whole. We all know it's a corporation and this and that. So you got to dress corporate to go there. And he didn't. And he went in there like, okay, I'm going to tell you what to do. Mm-hmm. He's a bad guy, and you have to come on my side. And we demand more troops, and we demand this, and we demand that. And he's like, you don't know who you're talking to. And I don't know how many times he said, listen, that wasn't me.
Right.
That wasn't me. That mm-hmm. wasn't me. That wasn't me.
Uh-huh.
And he kept going on and said stupid stuff like, oh, rumor has it you helped us out with some money. Mm-hmm. Rumor has it. How do you even? So it just got to a point where this little dweeb, everybody had enough of him. So they mm-hmm. just kind of all railed on him.
Yeah.
And, I'd rather see that than some milquetoast, child-sniffing clown away and go,
You have to think there for a second. How would a Biden reacted to that?
Mm-hmm.
I think he would have cowered down and basically...
Yeah, he wouldn't even know what was going on, honestly.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, continuing on that one, we'll look at the implications of Ukraine's leadership, which is the aftermath of the meeting has intensified discussions about President Zelensky's position. Reports indicating that a list of allies within the Trump administration is dwindling, and there are suggestions that a change in Ukrainian leadership might be necessary to facilitate peace and align more closely with U.S. interests. And that's basically what you were talking about, David.
Yeah, that kind of succinctly states it. Yes.
Yeah, and then the summary here is that the recent White House meeting has highlighted critical issues from a Christian conservative perspective, including concerns about religious freedom in the Ukraine, the moral imperative for peace, and the importance of principled leadership. These factors contribute to a broader discourse on the U.S.'s role in supporting Ukraine amidst its ongoing conflict with Russia. And again, you know, you had mentioned also, you know, you don't agree to do all these terrible things to Russia and then pick up the phone and talk to Putin and say, okay, yeah, you know, let's talk about peace now that we've laid out our position that you're evil. You know, I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, and essentially, if he just said, oh, yeah, I'm going to take your side, little Vlado, can you imagine? That would start a world war against the United States.
That's
says, oh, you're
Trump
on their side? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then they're going to attack us. He says, we're not going to do that.
Right, yeah. He made it clear. He said, you know, you're messing around with World War III. And he was right, you know. I mean, you're talking about a superpower here. So Zelensky, from my understanding, has gone to NATO. He's trying to appeal now to NATO. Well, what difference does that make? The United States is not going to agree to it. And I think it was Hungary was the other country that said that there's no way that they're going to vote for the Ukraine. That's off the table. Forget about it, Zelensky. Move on. You know, let's come up with something that's realistic instead of working in your fantasy land.
If I had another bingo card, that it would be Zelensky's out by next week is on it.
Yeah.
That's on my card.
Yeah, soon anyway. You know, I don't know what kind of fight he got. You know, it's kind of funny when, in a weird kind of way, that the last time that they had a conversation, Trump and Zelensky, it was just a phone call, and Trump got impeached over it. Okay, and this time around, it's on national TV, and everybody can see it. International TV, and everybody can see it. And now it looks like Zelensky might get impeached. It is kind of a weird, a weird deal going on there. You know, it doesn't seem like conversations between those two go very well.
Yep. So, and now everybody can see exactly what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Then you know, make a judgment call on that instead of, oh, he said, she said, like last time. Oh, he promised this and he promised that. Well, no, and I think that's one of the reasons he did. Listen, just record the whole thing.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Well, he said that's one of the reasons that he let it go on that long is because he wanted people to see exactly what he was having to deal with, and you know, he made a point. It was, I've never seen anything. I've watched these things for decades. You know, you got the president and then whoever the leader is that they come in for a meeting, so they very briefly they sit down in those two yellow chairs and they look at each other and they say, oh, we're going to talk about this and we're going to talk about that and I'm looking forward to this great meeting and we're such good friends and all that, and then they cut it and then they go back and they have the discussion and the debate and the arguments and all that. But in this particular case, you got the debates and the argument and all that other stuff right at the beginning because Zelensky wouldn't keep his mouth shut. You know, it's just, you know, it was kind of crazy. Okay, I'm going to show this map, David. This is the map of Christian persecution. You can see there are high levels of persecution, very high and extreme. And then this is according to Open Doors, which is an NGO dedicated to protecting Christians. 33, I want y'all to listen to this one, 33 of the 50 worst countries for Christian persecution are Islamic. Four are communist, and the rest are corrupt, agnostic dictatorships. Now, looking at that map, I was kind of surprised, actually, to see that there are very high levels of persecution in Mexico. It doesn't surprise me that Cuba is in there, but Mexico did surprise me. Now, the extreme levels, looking at those, the one country that stands out to me, and you can call on others if you want to, David, but the one country that stands out to me is India. Extreme levels of persecution. Do you have any comments on this map? I mean, it's pretty inclusive.
Yeah, I mean, well, that goes for the whole nation. It's probably more a little more fluid than that, but yeah, we could see. Yeah, India's was always bad because you know, they got their all their false gods over there, and they don't want the one god that says no, this is the only one to come in. So you're literally getting, you know, pissing off all of them, really. So well, they all start to come again.
It just never occurred to me that India was one of them. I thought those Hindus were supposed to be so, you know, loving.
Yeah, they love everybody, and until you say no, you're only supposed to love the one God. However, Saint Thomas went over, and there is a big section of India that is all Christian.
Okay.
And then you get, and there was actually a split, and that's how we got Pakistan. Pakistan's actually Indian, but they're like the Christians and the Muslims were fighting, and they said, I'll tell you what, let's just split the land in half.
Yeah.
You go over there, we'll go over here and stop killing each other. And then we got Pakistan.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's portions of India that they got a long heritage, and everything's Thomas this and Thomas that over if you go to that section of India, because India's huge.
Yeah. Well, I remember, watching different documentaries on Gandhi, for instance, and you know, his deal was to make India free, but he was looking at India and Pakistan being together. They were still under English control at that time, and and the Indians or the Hindu and the Muslims couldn't get along, you know, and that's the reason that they split it off into India and Pakistan, and then those two have been bitter enemies for years, and now they both got nuclear weapons pointed at each other, and, you know, if one of them didn't have it, the other one wouldn't exist right now. So, you know, it's been a battle over there, but I didn't realize that Christians were under persecution there. It just never occurred to me. It makes sense now, but, you know, it just never really occurred to me. Okay, got one last topic today, and let me just go ahead and put this first one up here. The fall of Joy Reid and DEI, or what is that, diversity,
equity and inclusion.
All right.
Or mental retardation is actually known. Right.
So now this is an article from the New York Post by one of their writers there, Mr. David Christopher Kaufman. I'm going to give all credit where credit is due. He writes that the axed MSNBC anchor Joy Reid is quickly becoming the Kamala Harris of nightly news cable. Like the former vice president, Reid is out of a job, sent packing by the notoriously liberal television channel as it contends with plummeting ratings and a reform-minded new boss. Like Harris, she's clearly unable to understand why. The cancellation of Reid's evening program, The Readout, should hardly have come as a surprise. Both Reid and MSNBC have faced a swift and steady decline since Donald Trump was re-elected president. In early December, Reid's show averaged around 759,000 nightly viewers, a 47% decline from an average of 1.4 million just before Election Day. Although that number has recovered somewhat, a recent broadcast of The Readout still ranked a dismal 126th on Nielsen's list of the most popular television programs. So, you know, she said that her program was so important and all this, you know, and she was speaking truth to power, and, you know, she had a whole list of racist comments that she wanted to go through as proof that her show mattered, when in fact, as you just saw there, it had fallen off by almost 50%. You know, so
clearly it does not matter.
It doesn't matter, right? I mean, she is basically irrelevant at this point. But David, go ahead and make your initial comments on this one.
Yeah, I have posted my meme of her in her McDonald's outfit, so that was pretty funny.
Yeah, I saw that. That was good.
It says it, if in fact they're still hiring. Mm-hmm. But yes, it's just the sense of entitlement that they have. It's like, listen, if you perform, you get this, you know?
Yeah.
And even in some of our stuff and even my videos and all, I'm not doing it to try and get people to like it. I'm doing it to tell the truth. So, you understand that, hey, there's a very small percentage of people that like the truth, but that's what God called me to do. So I'm not so worried about the ratings as much. But she's worried about her ratings because she's so important and it's all about her, basically.
Yeah.
So, and then she gets on and she starts crying. It's like, seriously? You're crying on TV? Oh, but I had value. I had value. Well, apparently you don't have value. I think they watch her just because she's a little nutty. And he's like, let's see what this nut job is doing today. And they just got tired of it, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, there's only so many people you can, say you're not like us. Remember that guy?
Right.
We're not like you then. Goodbye.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It still amazes me. And, I'm not a racist. I say that plain and simple and directly. It amazes me how many people of our race, of the white race, think that white people are bad. Except for me, of course. Except, they always say, all white people are bad. Except me.
I agree that they're bad. So that means I'm not bad.
In other words, what people are talking to these days is on a popularity, what the world thinks of me. That's the important thing to them. And if that means that they've got to go against God, well, we got to go against God because we got to be popular, instead of trying to understand the Bible, understand scripture, and understand that you have got to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior in order to go to heaven, you can dismiss Jesus. As long as you're popular, you're good, and then, I believe in God. Yeah, I believe in Jesus. But, a lot of the stuff he said, he was just making that up. And it's just crazy.
It's all allegory.
Yeah, just absolutely nuts.
Well, the wasp, as it were, used to be that, and it's come full pendulum now. Mm-hmm. WASP used to think that the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant, that's what the WASP stands for, and they would say, oh, well, we're the elite, and you get that's where a lot of the slave trading came in, and the pirates, and England pretty much, the sun never set on the British Empire. So they came from that end of the pendulum. Now they're all the way on the other side, evil things on the planet. And it's like, we stop. Literally, everybody's the same color. It's just a matter of how much of it do you have.
Right.
But we're all have some melatonin, and so some have a lot of it, and some have a little.
I'm going to go back ridiculous. All the way to my junior high days, believe it or not. There was a the school I went to was like, in junior high, was like 51% white and, 48% black, and whatever else was left over was Hispanic. And there was this one little Hispanic kid that he was talking to one of the black students one day, and this guy had been going on and on and on about something silly, and he looked at him and he said, look, you need to calm down, you're not making any sense here, and you gotta understand that what you're saying is not all that important just because the Lord spent a little more time coloring you in. And, that stuck with me all these years, and, it's really true. Okay, here's what you were talking about, David. Reed's tearful rant on her Tuesday podcast explains much of why her time in America's living rooms each evening reached its expiration date. Like Harris's infamous November video, posted a few weeks after she lost to Trump, Reid's check-in was raw and unscripted and messy. It also laid bare the extent of Reid's identity-obsessed agenda and how neutered it's become under Trump 2.0. Self-congratulatory references to her show's supposed defense of the Constitution and championing of Black Lives Matter defined Reid's missive. It felt tired and say that word for me.
anachronistic.
Thank you. Reid's remarks about Israel's war with Hamas also lacked original thinking and the worst sense of timing. The American people have a right to object to little babies being bombed. That's what she said. No word about the two Jewish babies, Ariel and Kavrif Bibas, who were kidnapped and murdered by Hamas in Gaza. Their funeral was held on Wednesday. And, you know, I mean, she was anti-Semitic. No doubt about that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, big time. You know, to say something as stupid as that, Israel's not bombing babies. Mm-hmm. It's like they make up this rhetoric to get you all inflamed. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you wake up, you realize that all of it is just a lie. Mm-hmm. You know, they just make up these lies to get people enraged at something that doesn't exist. But that's what the devil does.
Yeah. Okay. You know, so now, I've got a bunch more slides on her, but I'm going to cut her out right now because she's just not important.
Yeah, she's not even worth the time.
Yeah, she is not relevant. But I do want to answer this question. Is Ukraine in Bible prophecy? And from there, I'll begin this by saying, not specifically. It doesn't say Ukraine anywhere in the Bible. However, that doesn't mean that Ukraine can't possibly be and probably will be one of those countries, if it's still a country, that comes down mm-hmm. against Israel in the Gog and Magog war.
It might be part of Russia again. You never
right.
know.
But my point here is, and I saw this in somebody's post, I don't even remember who it was, but it made sense, and that is, right now, what is the world doing? There's panic. They're in a major panic. And what they're looking for, they want to get away from the United States. There's a lot of countries that are saying, we want to distance ourselves from the United States because they're not going to protect us anymore. We need somebody. We need a leader. We need a world leader. Well, what does that mean, David? If the world is looking for its leader, what does that mean? And you got the last part of the show. Go for it.
Yeah, it means that they're going to find their world leader.
Right.
He's called the Little Horn, by the way. Mm-hmm. So here's the basic deal. There's the 10 horns, and then three of them will rise to power, and then one of them will be like he's the guy that takes over. But he's a little horn because no one will expect it and who he is. But the Bible says that he's greater than his fellows in the King James, which means he was really big. So I'm wondering if he's a Nephilim and everyone remember Saul, not the apostle, but
he stood taller than everybody in Israel, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was a head above everyone else. So they're like, oh, he's the guy. So this guy, the world's going to come. Oh, look, he must be the guy and he can stand against this. And oh, look what happened. All these people are missing, you know, in the rapture. Mm-hmm. It must have been aliens. We have to get a one-world government. That's going to be the final thing. Yeah. But I also want to throw in there the poop. You know, the poop's on his bed over there. Mm-hmm. Who knows if he's going to last the night? And according to Tom Horn and the book on the Malachi prophecies, he was the last one, Petrus Romanus. Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. So what does that mean? You know, are we smack up against this, or does the Malachi prophecy have any merit? You know, because maybe it was all right up to now, but then in the last part it says, "Oh, just kidding." You never know.
Right.
We'll see, because it's not Bible prophecy; it's just Malachi prophecy. You know, right. It's kind of like Nostradamus in a sense. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's so many things happening, and it's like minute by minute now. It's just amazing. So we're just looking up. Jesus is coming, and you know, if he doesn't come for 50 years, so be it. But we're still going to look for him today, and we give him all of glory. So you can receive Jesus as your Savior too, because he made a blood contract with you to get rid of all your sins and to pay for them himself. So you, in fact, can receive his eternal inheritance. So, Lord willing, we'll see you next time. You guys have a blessed day. Bye.
Thanks again for joining us today for the Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net until the trumpet sounds.
Looking for bold, faith-filled inspiration?
tune in to The Last Christian Radio Show. Available on KRRB Revelation Radio 1700 AM in East Texas and internationally syndicated in over 160 countries on revelationradio.net, this powerful program dives into faith, hope, and salvation. Join us every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday evening at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Central for life-changing conversations and messages.